Well, thank you everyone for being here, and I just want to recognize one of my mentors, Diane Rowley, who is a co-author on this paper and on my dissertation committee, is here in the audience today. So thank you for being here. And I do want to disclose that during my dissertation analysis, I worked as an unpaid contractor for Community Care of North Carolina, which is where my data comes from. So I'm going to talk a little bit about preterm birth and introduce you to the program whose data I analyzed, which is the Pregnancy Medical Home Program, and then I'll go into the study. So we all know that preterm birth is a major cause of infant mortality and morbidity, and it has a substantial cost to the U.S. healthcare system. And can you all hear me? I hear people moving. Okay. Okay, I'll talk into the microphone more. So this places a considerable burden on public programs such as Medicaid, given that preterm birth is highly concentrated in communities of lower socioeconomic status, and not to mention the considerable economic burden and emotional burden for these families. In North Carolina, the prevalence of preterm birth has historically been higher than the U.S. average. So according to the preliminary births of 2013, which is published by the National Center of Health Statistics, the prevalence of preterm birth was 12% in North Carolina and 11.4% in the U.S. And here I'm showing the prevalence of preterm birth by race, ethnicity, among Medicaid mothers in North Carolina, which is the population that my research looks at. And as you can see, there are significant racial ethnic disparities, with non-Hispanic black women having much higher rates of preterm birth. So in response to the higher rates of preterm birth in North Carolina, the Community Care of North Carolina started the Pregnancy Medical Home Program in 2011 in partnership with the Division of Medical Assistance of North Carolina. And the goal of this program is to provide evidence-based, high-quality maternity care to pregnant mothers on Medicaid. And the goal is to improve birth outcomes in this population. So in North Carolina, Medicaid covers about 48% of prenatal care and deliveries, and then it provides emergency coverage of the delivery for an additional 8% of births. And in North Carolina, about two-thirds of women only qualify for Medicaid during pregnancy, so it's unlikely that they have a usual source of care or health insurance when they are not pregnant. And this is really important for the Pregnancy Medical Home Program because it aims to provide care management to these women. So to give you an idea of the scope of this program, about 85% of prenatal care providers in the state are considered pregnancy medical homes. And what they do is they employ care managers through local health departments, and these care managers interact with both the patient and the provider to essentially improve the medical care to women during pregnancy. And they try to focus care management resources on women at highest risk. So the way they do this is through a risk screening form, and this is administered at the first prenatal care visit. And in my sample, this was around 13 weeks of gestational age. And with this form, the provider takes a medical history, and then the woman either fills out a psychosocial history or they assess this information through an interview. On this form, there are over 40 risk factors that are assessed, and a quarter of them are considered priority risk factors. So if a woman has any one of these priority risk factors, she's automatically eligible for the care management intervention. So these are the priority risk factors, and they were chosen by an OB work group based on a review of existing evidence of those that had the strongest associations with preterm birth, but also with attention to risk factors that could be modifiable or could increase utilization of the healthcare system and could be addressed through care management. And there are two here in italics that I was unable to look at because of small sizes in my sample. But currently, 70% of the women that are being screened by this program have at least one of these priority risk factors. And this exceeds the capacity of the program. And as you can imagine, if the care managers are overburdened with too many patients, they may not be able to provide the care needed for those at highest risk. And so you may see a watering down of the intervention. And so that's another thing is that we don't know which risk factors are the most predictive of preterm birth and whether the ones that the program is currently prioritizing are the most predictive in this population. And that's where my analysis comes in. So the goal is to determine which combination of risk factors is most predictive of preterm birth in this population in order to improve the targeting of care management resources to women at highest risk. Additionally, I was interested in whether there were specific risk factors for different populations. For example, we know that nulliparous women and non-Hispanic Black women have higher prevalence of preterm birth, but there aren't a lot of modifiable risk factors that are known in these groups. So I was specifically interested in testing for interaction by these groups. My data came from three sources. Medicaid delivery claims were matched to birth certificate data so that I could have information on my outcome, which was preterm birth. And there's a 95% match rate between these data sources. And then the mom's Medicaid ID was linked to the Community Care of North Carolina's case management information system. And that's where they hold all the risk screening information. So my sample, I began with about a year's worth of birth, and then I'm only interested in women who were screened by the program, so in the early stages of the program. And then I apply several exclusion criteria, the most notable being that I only looked at women who were screened before 24 weeks of gestation. And the reason I did this is that I wanted to make sure I measured all the risk factors prior to the chance of having a preterm birth. And then I excluded some due to missing data, and I'm left with about 15,000 women. So again, my outcome was preterm birth, which I defined between 24 and 37 weeks completed gestation, and I used the obstetric estimate of gestation from the birth certificate to calculate it. And then the exposures were all of them collected on the risk screening form. So these are sociodemographics, psychosocial characteristics, current pregnancy characteristics, and obstetric history. So I looked at each risk factor in my sample, and then I compared it across preterm birth, and then I conducted bivariate logistic regression. So any risk factor that was significant at the P.05 level, either in the Pearson chi-square test or the logistic regression model, I included in my first full model. And then I conducted backward stepwise elimination, and I kept anything in the model that was significant at the 0.05 level for my final predictive model. Then I internally validated this model using bootstrap methods. I tested for interaction by race, ethnicity, and parity. And then in order to assess the performance of my final predictive model and compare it to the current priority risk factor model, I conducted receiver operator curve characteristic analysis. So here's a little bit about my sample. By race, ethnicity, and age. And here's some of the prevalence of risk factors in my sample. So again, 70% had one or more priority risk factors. 38% smoked at some point during pregnancy. 17% had a chronic condition. 7.5% had had a previous preterm birth. And 61% of the sample received the care management intervention. The prevalence of preterm birth in my sample was 11%. And I also calculated the prevalence of preterm birth in all North Carolina births at the same time period, and this was 10%. And this makes sense that the prevalence in my sample was a little bit higher because this is a sample of all women on Medicaid. And here I show the prevalence by race, ethnicity, and again, you'll note that African-American women had the highest prevalence of preterm birth. So So now I'm jumping straight into the multivariate results because I have so many risk factors. I decided just to present the final predictive model. And let me orient you a little bit to this table. So here are all the risk factors in the final predictive model. There were about 15 of them. And they're ordered by their strength of association with preterm birth. So here I have the prevalence in the sample. So multiple gestation was less than 1% in my sample, but the odds of preterm birth is almost 11 times for women carrying multiples of preterm birth than with women with a singleton pregnancy. And then here I have the bias-corrected confidence intervals from the bootstrapping. So let me tell you a little bit about what's in this model. Out of all the sociodemographic characteristics, only non-Hispanic black race remained in my model. Out of all the psychosocial characteristics, only continuing to smoke during pregnancy remained in my model. So women who quit smoking during pregnancy did not have a substantially higher odds of preterm birth than women who never smoked or smoked before pregnancy. Most of the variables in my model were current pregnancy characteristics or adverse reproductive outcomes. So things like chronic diabetes, cervical insufficiency, renal disease, hypertension, being underweight, chronic asthma, having another chronic condition, or this being the first live birth. And then previous poor outcomes, such as a previous preterm birth, a previous low birth weight, and a previous loss. So then I was interested in seeing, well, do any risk factors differ by non-Hispanic black and non-Hispanic white women? And there were two risk factors that did differ, BMI and food insecurity. And I want to call your attention to this finding among nulliparous women, since that was a group that I was particularly interested in. And so what this shows is the odds ratio of preterm birth for obese women compared to non-obese women was higher among nulliparous women only. This was not the case for Paris women. There were also two risk factors whose associations with preterm birth differed by race ethnicity. And this was unsafe and unstable housing and a short interpregnancy interval. And so because I was most interested in non-Hispanic black women, I'm going to focus on the short interpregnancy interval. And this was defined as less than 12 months between the birth and the conception of the current pregnancy. And the odds of preterm birth was elevated for women with a short interpregnancy interval compared to women with a longer interval, but only among black women. And finally, I'm showing the results from my model performance. So if you look at this first line, the area under the curve is a measure of how well your model can predict your outcome. And if we were to flip a coin, we would get 50%. So my final model gives us a predictive AUC of 66%, so it's a little bit better than chance. It's also slightly better than the current priority risk factor model that they're using, and these differences are statistically significant, although I don't know how clinically meaningfully different they are. And when you add in those variables that I showed that differed by specific subgroups, you get an even better predictive ability. Now, one of the purposes of my analysis was to improve the specificity of their current tool, which screens in 70% of women as positive and has a specificity around 30%. Now, my model, which chose a risk cutoff or a predictive probability of 0.11, we chose this cutoff because it optimizes the sensitivity and specificity, but it's a little too restrictive. We only screen in 22% of the women. So we do increase the specificity by quite a bit, but, you know, we're hardly screening in any women as positive, and we miss about 50% of the preterm births. So the conclusion is that the Pregnancy Medical Home Program could use our model, so use the variables from our model and weight them like we did according to their odds ratios, but lower this predicted probability so that they screen in more women. They have the capacity to serve about 50% of women, so we can kind of figure out which risk cutoff could bring this up to about 50%. Okay, so in summary, here I'm showing the risk factors that are currently prioritized by the program but did not show up in my final model. So this suggests that the Pregnancy Medical Home Program could deprioritize some of these risk factors, such as women who quit smoking during pregnancy. This was a large proportion of our sample, and they did not show an elevated risk for preterm birth. In this circle, I'm showing the variables that only showed up in my final model but are not currently prioritized by the program. So this suggests that the Pregnancy Medical Home Program should consider including some of these risk factors in order to improve the predictive ability of their screening tool. And finally, here I show the risk factors that showed up both in my predictive model and that are currently prioritized by the program. And so the Pregnancy Medical Home Program should continue to prioritize these risk factors. So the predictive model that I designed and internally validated improves upon the current priority risk factor model that the program uses. And we found that when we included specific risk factors for vulnerable groups, we improved the predictive ability slightly of our model. And so the program should target care management resources to women with these risk factors in our final model. There are several limitations to this data. We used obstetric estimate of gestation from the birth certificate, and some recent reports on the validation of this measure suggest that it may undercount the true rate of preterm birth, so our estimate of preterm birth might look better than estimates that are used based on last menstrual period. And we only examine preterm birth, only one outcome. So before they, you know, modify the risk screening form, we may need to look at other important maternal and child health outcomes. Additionally, this is the first study to look at the case management information system, and this is real program data entered by care managers all across the state, so there's missing data. Additionally, I chose a screening cutoff of 24 weeks, and this may miss certain risk factors that occur later in pregnancy, such as hypertensive disorders. And it may limit the generalizability of my sample to women who enter prenatal care prior to 24 weeks. Additionally, 61% of my sample received some level of the intervention, and this could affect the relationship between my risk factors and the outcome of preterm birth. To reduce these effects, we attempted to conduct the study at the very beginning of the program when care management was just starting. And I also conducted a sensitivity analysis where I conducted model selection just among women who did not receive the care management intervention, and I get similar findings for the predictive model. So the evaluation of the Pregnancy Medical Home Risk Screening Form provides insight to increase its sensitivity and specificity. So by revising the priority risk factors and weighting them, the program can reduce the number of women eligible for care management and thereby relieve the care manager's caseload so that they can target women at highest risk. The risk factors that remained in my final predictive model can inform the focus of care management. So the program should continue to focus resources on smoking cessation, chronic disease management, and interconception care to address previous adverse reproductive outcomes. So this analysis provides important information to improve perinatal care locally, and at the same time, it contributes to the literature on preterm birth and racial ethnic disparities. And I'd just like to acknowledge my dissertation committee, the MCH section, and the agencies that were involved in this analysis.
Okay, we do have time for one or two questions. So, yeah.
Is the outcome for sexually
Thank you. a good question. Well, so I think the intervention is like a drop in the bucket, you know, and also there were varying levels of intervention that the women received in our sample. So some women might have gotten one contact with the case manager and some would have gotten more than that. So it's difficult to say exactly, but I think some of these factors, the intervention is not assessed, is not intervening upon, right? So non-Hispanic Black was 40% in our sample, and you know, we don't know all the things that place non-Hispanic Black women at higher risk, but if we think about things like racism or discrimination or, you know, neighborhood issues, that's not something that our intervention is necessarily, you know. We could, you know, when I looked at interaction by Hispanic compared to white, there weren't any differences, there weren't any risk factors that stood out, and it was a smaller sample, and so I think my sample size of Black Hispanic would be very small.
Okay. One more.
Yeah, that's a great suggestion. So one thing I did was I used bootstrapping. So I, you know, drew 1,000 samples with replacement from my original sample, and then I ran the stepwise procedure. I automated it in those 1,000 samples, and that gives you an estimate of, like, how many times each variable stayed in the model. And so I decided to keep everything in that stayed in those 1,000 samples at least 500 times. So I think that can get at it a little bit, but definitely, like, you know, low birth weight and preterm birth go together, and, you know, they keeping them in the model may mask kind of variables like current pregnancy hypertension that weren't as strongly associated, you know, but might lead to having had a preterm birth. Does that answer your question a little bit? Yeah, I think it can just give you more confidence in, like, okay, you know, when I took this variable out, you know, when the computer does it 1,000 times, it took it out this many times. So, yeah, but I like your suggestion. Thank you.
Yeah, and we can continue the biostatistics seminar later. Actually, I had a question for you about that, too, but we'll do it after this.
Okay.